A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, none of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why then do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you look down on your brother or sister? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bend before me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Verbum Domini. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage, be stout-hearted, and wait for the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus addressed this parable to them. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Verbum Domini.
The gospel reading today begins with a line that is challenging not only for the Pharisees and scribes at the time of Jesus, but for people of every age. Luke tells us that the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. And these two groups of people, tax collectors and sinners, were perpetually despised, especially by the Pharisees and scribes. Once a person was labeled as a tax collector or a sinner, they became social pariahs who were regarded by society as beyond redemption. They were basically lesser human beings whose dignity could not match that of the self-righteous Pharisees and scribes. They were widely ignored and excluded from participation in society. And those people affixed with these labels might find it nearly impossible to be accepted once again into larger society. They were the people on the peripheries at the time of Jesus. And their status as a tax collector or sinner practically forced them to remain in their lifestyle without any hope of redemption. They were viewed by the ostensibly law-abiding Pharisees and scribes as the dregs of society, the scum of the earth, and practically less than human. And yet when Jesus comes on the scene and becomes active in his public ministry, he intentionally seeks out people like tax collectors and sinners, welcomes them, and he eats with them. He sees something in these people that the Pharisees and scribes are incapable of perceiving. And Luke tells us that the Pharisees and scribes saw how tax collectors and sinners were flocking to Jesus. The response is not to rejoice at the sight of sinners repenting and returning to the Lord. Instead, they begin to complain against Jesus. And this is reminiscent of the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel grumbled and complained against Moses and Aaron, the servants of the Lord who were tasked with liberating the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt and bringing them into the Promised Land. The people grumbled against Moses because they lost faith in the word of the Lord and lost sight of the incredible works that God had already worked in their presence. Likewise, the Pharisees and scribes who complain and grumble against Jesus have no faith in his word and have lost sight of the incredible works that Jesus has performed in their sight. They are so blinded by the glow of their own self-righteousness that they fail to recognize the great work of redemption that Christ is accomplishing right before their eyes. And Jesus begins his response to the Pharisees and scribes by saying, "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it?" In saying this, Jesus has proclaimed a profound truth about the dignity of every human person. And while the Pharisees and scribes impose artificial distinctions between those who are deemed public sinners and those who are law-abiding, Jesus sees every person as a member of his flock. He does not despise those who are public sinners. Rather, he actively seeks them out, knowing that they are the ones who are in need of a physician, not those who are well. Those who are not lost do not need someone to go and search for them, only those who are lost. And Jesus calls all people his sheep, regardless of the artificial social distinctions that are imposed upon them, whether rich or poor, sinner or self-righteous, good or bad. They all belong to Christ, who desires not the death of the sinner, that the sinner might repent and be saved. And if one sheep leaves the flock and goes astray, the value of that one sheep is equal in the eyes of God to the value of the rest of the sheep in his flock. The sheep that strays does not lose their inherent dignity in the eyes of the Lord. He does not wish that any one of his sheep might be lost or might perish. And unlike the Pharisees and scribes, who prefer to shun people that they deem as sinners, Jesus welcomes them as they repent and turn to him. And not only that, but he rejoices with his friends and neighbors, the saints and angels in heaven, over the one sheep that was lost and has been found. So precious is every sheep to him. And likewise, Jesus speaks of a woman with 10 coins who loses one and immediately begins to search for it. She lights a lamp and sweeps the house, carefully searching for it until she finds it. And this one coin that she lost has the same value in the eyes of the woman as the other 9 coins that were not lost. It is just as precious to her as those other coins. Every person enjoys this equal value and dignity in the eyes of God. And as the woman in the parable values every one of her coins, so does the Lord God value every human person and regards them as equal in dignity. As with the man who found his lost sheep and rejoiced, so too the woman invites her friends and neighbors to join in her joyful celebration when she finally finds her lost coin. Jesus has come not to shun or condemn sinners, but to save them. Every person, regardless of what they might have done in their past or whatever sins they might have committed, is precious in the eyes of the Lord. Every person is worth leaving everything else behind and going in search of that person until they are found. All of heaven rejoices with the salvation of every sinner. And it's this logic of the gospel that motivated our late Holy Father Pope Francis to issue a revision to the Catechism of the Catholic Church concerning the death penalty. The new paragraph in the Catechism, number 2267, says recourse to the death penalty on the part of legitimate authority following a fair trial was long considered an appropriate response to the gravity of certain crimes and an acceptable, albeit extreme, means of safeguarding the common good. Today, however, there is an increasing awareness that the dignity of the person is not lost, even after the commission of very serious crimes. In addition, a new understanding has emerged of the significance of penal sanctions imposed by the state. Lastly, more effective systems of detention have been developed, which ensure the due protection of citizens, but at the same time do not definitively deprive the guilty of the possibility of redemption. And consequently, the Church teaches in the light of the gospel that the death penalty is inadmissible because it is an attack on the inviolability and dignity of the person. And she works with determination for its abolition worldwide. And on hearing this revision of the Catechism on the death penalty, we can readily see how its logic is entirely consistent with the logic of the gospel reading today. It is not the will of God that any person be lost forever. Every person has an inherent infinite dignity in the eyes of God. And this applies not only to babies and children in the womb, but to every human person, from conception to natural death, regardless of what they might have done or what they have failed to do. The person whom we regard as a sinner today is potentially a saint who will one day be welcomed into eternity in heaven. And this mercy towards sinners is not meant to minimize or dismiss any sinful or harmful actions or behavior. Every person who has committed serious mortal sin is expected to make, or at least attempt to make, reparation for any harm that their sin has caused. And we will later see in Luke 19 the rich tax collector, Zacchaeus, to whose house Jesus goes to dine. The kindness and mercy shown by Jesus towards Zacchaeus moves this tax collector to give half of his goods to the poor and to restore fourfold anything that he has defrauded from anyone. It is this love and mercy of Christ, who looks upon the dignity of Zacchaeus and not his sin, that moves Zacchaeus to repentance. It is in Jesus Christ that Zacchaeus believes in the possibility of forgiveness, redemption, and salvation. He would not have had that faith had he not encountered Christ and his love and mercy. And since Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has not come to condemn the world, but to save it, it follows that his disciples, Christians, ought to do the same. We should lead our lives with love, mercy, and welcome, not self-righteousness, judgment, and condemnation. And this principle of equal dignity also extends to the immigrant, the foreigner, the refugee, and the asylum seeker. Recently, it was reported that an auxiliary bishop in Chicago, as well as other spiritual leaders, were denied access to detainees in an ICE detention center so that they might bring communion to the detainees. And immigration advocates allege that these people, created in the image and likeness of God, were being treated inhumanely. And one of the priests who desired to bring communion to the detainees said, "The Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. It's such an important thing for people to be able to receive communion. To be denied that right, that opportunity, as Catholics, is devastating." And recently, Pope Leo XIV was asked to comment on this situation in Chicago, and he said, "In the first place, the role of the Church is to preach the gospel." And just a couple of days ago, we heard Matthew's gospel, chapter 25, which says, Jesus says very clearly, at the end of the world, we're going to be asked, "How did you receive the foreigner? Did you receive him and welcome him or not?" And I think that there's a deep reflection that needs to be made in terms of what's happening. Many people who have lived for years and years and years, never causing problems, have been deeply affected by what's going on right now. The spiritual rights of people who have been detained should also be considered. And I would certainly invite the authorities to allow pastoral workers to attend to the needs of those people. Many times they've been separated from their families for a good amount of time, and no one knows what is happening, but their own spiritual needs should be attended to. And what Pope Leo XIV says here is completely in line with his spiritual predecessor, Pope Leo XIII, who says in his encyclical, Immortali Dei, "Hence, civil society established for the common welfare should not only safeguard the well-being of the community, but also have at heart the interests of its individual members, in such mode as not in any way to hinder, but in every manner to render as easy as may be the possession of that highest and unchangeable good for which all should seek. Wherefore, for this purpose, care must especially be taken to preserve unharmed and unimpeded the religion whereof the practice is the link connecting man with God." In our relations with all people, we should strive above all to imitate Christ and his love and mercy, and not behave according to the prejudice, the bigotry, the racism, and the hatred of the world. Christ has given us the way to salvation by recognizing the basic God-given dignity of every human person and understanding that God wills not the death of any sinner, but that all people might repent and be saved. And we cannot build a society based on fear, anger, distrust, and hatred towards anyone. That includes foreigners, immigrants, prisoners, or any other such groups of people. Such a society cannot stand for very long. And as Christians, we are called to seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness by bringing the leaven of the gospel of salvation to all parts of the world. We are called not to take pleasure in hatred and in condemning those we deem unworthy, like the scribes and Pharisees, but to rejoice with all of heaven in the salvation of those who have responded to Christ's love and mercy, who have repented of their sin, and who have been welcomed into their heavenly homelands.